Welcome to Launchpod Episode 8, the Launchpad Team Podcast. I'm Matthew Revelle, and I'm joined by three of my colleagues on the Launchpad Team today. Three fantastic chaps. There's Joey Stanford.
Howdy.
Joining us again this week is Barry Warsaw, another great chap in, where are you? You're near Washington, aren't you?
I'm just north of Washington, D.C., in the suburbs of Maryland.
And from the dark satanic mills of Lancashire, we have Graham Binns from the Launchpad Bugs team, who has been a guest on the show before, but now is taking part in our Launchpod Idol and is auditioning for the role of third co-presenter on the show. Welcome to Launchpod, Graham.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's nice to be here.
So, Graham, who are you? Tell us a bit about yourself. What do you do on Launchpad team?
Yeah, I've been wondering about that for quite a while there, Graham. What do you really do?
Yeah, but to be fair, I've wondered the same about you, Joey. So, you know, I'm part of the...
I'm just here to look good, that's all.
I'm part of the Launchpad Bugs team. That's a team of, he counts quickly in his head, four people. And we work on the Launchpad Bug Tracker. And our job is to make sure that it's the best bug tracker available. Well, that's our aim anyway. We still have some way to go in that, I think, and I think that our users would agree, but our job is to respond to the user's requirements for the bug tracker and to deal with things like syncing with upstream bug trackers. That's my particular area of concern within the bug tracker team. So if you have a Bugzilla instance or a track instance or what have you, and you want Launchpad to be able to mirror the statuses of the bugs on that remote bug tracker, then it's me who's responsible for the code that does that work. I'm also responsible for doing imports of bug trackers into Launchpad. So if you have a project that's on SourceForge and you want to move over to Launchpad, then I would be the guy to contact to get all your bugs imported into the Launchpad bug tracker from SourceForge. And that's more or less what I do day to day.
We should also mention that Graham is a great bass player who I met at the recent All Hands, and we need more bass players on the team.
Oh, definitely, yes. There's, as far as I'm aware, Barry, there's four bass players in the whole of Canonical. I think we need more on the Launchpad team itself. I think
Absolutely. Two
is a gross underrepresentation.
So what brought you to Canonical and to, I suppose, hacking in Python?
What brought me to Canonical was fortuitous happenstance. It so happened that the company that I'd been working at previously, which was a mobile content company, had decided to close its doors because the market had changed and what have you. And I happened to see the advert for a Launchpad developer, and I applied. And it turned out that one of the two managers of Launchpad at the time, Steve Alexander, is the guy who taught me how to program Java back in 2000 at university. Which just goes to prove that it's a very small world. And it went from there. I had a number of interviews with Steve and with Elliot, lately of Launchpod, and eventually with Bjorn, who's now my immediate manager. And then I joined the team about a year ago, actually. Previously to that, I've been doing a lot of web development work, mostly in PHP. And PHP, developing in it, is why I came to hack on Python, because frankly, if I carried on developing PHP, I would have started to hurt myself.
I think your accent can't go without mention. Do you have a reference on how to understand the vowel shift that takes place in Lancashire?
No, not really, because I've never known anyone make an issue of it until I worked in an international company. I've also noticed that the only people who actually don't understand me are Joey and Joey. Actually, the first time I spoke to Joey, he thought I was Scottish. I would like to point out at this juncture that I am not Scottish, and I think most Scotsmen would agree. I'm actually from Lancashire, which is in the northwest of England. As Matt said, it's a very dark place where we've only just discovered the internet. Everything is still steam-powered, and we all wear clogs. I think that's covered all the stereotypes now. If you want almost a Lancashire accent, a very good BBC TV series to watch is Life on Mars. It's actually a Manchester accent, but it's close enough.
Yeah, I know. If you really wanted to prove the difference between a Lancashire accent and Scottish, we should probably see if we can get big Kevin McDermott on the call. And
definitely.
And then you could definitely, you know, it takes your ear a few minutes to adjust to Kevin's really heavy accent before you can begin to understand.
It does. The key points about the Lancashire accent are this. Most of the vowel sounds are flattened, but the double O sound is elongated. So instead of most people would say cook, as in cooking something, cooking on a stove. In Lancashire, we would say cook, or book, or luke. Or,
oh, so you're from Canada. Oh, that makes sense.
Touché.
Oh, I'm going to get hate mail for that one. I think today we're going to interview Curtis Hovey from the Answers team to talk a little bit about Answers. The last podcast we had, episode 7, my number of the week was Answers, about Answers. So it seemed kind of appropriate to have him on this week. And we also have coming up Jamu from the Landscape team to talk to us a little bit about Landscape. So that should be a really interesting dialogue.
And as you mentioned there, I'm sure we've got a number of the week from you, Joey. Is that right?
As a matter of fact, we don't. I don't have a number of the week for today, so we need to make one really fast.
All right, well, while you're working on that, Joey, let's go and speak to Curtis. Hey, Curtis, welcome to Launchpad. Tell us about your involvement in the Launchpad team.
I started working on Launchpad Answers when I started with Launchpad, and I currently work for the Foundations team. The Foundations team doesn't work in a specific area of Launchpad. Its mandate is to build the tools and APIs needed by the applications. For instance, Launchpad Bugs or Launchpad Answers needs a feature built that they will both use. This could be something like new configuration management. So that's what I do. I work on where I'm needed most. I don't really know what I'm going to be working on each month.
Well, that sounds very useful. we could use more of you.
I think that's a rather ambiguous answer. And each release, I have no idea what I'm going to be working on.
No, but I as somebody who reads the commit messages, your name appears all too often in the with code submitted and such. And I know that you've personally handled a number of big projects for us, so I know that we're very thankful with that. Barry, you work with Curtis.
Yes, I do. Curtis is also our ninja reviewer. Most of our long-term developers do a day of reviews of other people's code, and Curtis takes Fridays, and he's a monster. He's great. He works all day Friday, and you know you'll see lots of follow-ups from him all through the weekend. Despite my pleas for him to go and have a real life. But he's great. It's great working with Curtis, who in fact does not live far from me, just on the other side of Washington, D.C.
We only meet during sprints, which might be Montreal or Florida, because it's easier to take a plane to another country than it is to actually cross the river that separates us.
You must live in Alexandria then. hey, Curtis, you mentioned just a minute ago that you also did work on the Answers section of Launchpad. Can you tell us a little bit about Answers and what people would use it for and how it could, what would an open source project use Answers for?
Well, I'd like to start by saying what attracted me to it. I was given a choice of where I could work on a Launchpad, and Answers is possibly the most unique feature I've seen in any of the open source tools available. It's not specifically about the developer. It's about the end user. And I think most open source projects begin as an urge from developers, and they're developer-centric. But that makes it not necessarily suitable to developers, suitable as the right people to help users. I mean, they care, but they're not the best people. And this was something that was seen as a problem and as something that could be solved when Launchpad was created. So Answers focuses on allowing people who are very good at understanding an application and being able to, in an oblique form, document it by answering people's questions. So this can be as simple as, I need to reconfigure it, I'm having difficulty starting it, and what is it? It could be Ubuntu itself, it could be you want to reconfigure the JEDIT editor to run a specific tool for you. There's a lot of people with a lot of skill out there, and they're not necessarily developers of a project, but they care. I would cite most of us who are also developers aren't always developers. There's times when we are just users. I don't know how to really reconfigure or build my own kernel, for instance. So we all play the role of a user at some point, and we all have some skill that we can act as a teacher or a documenter. And that's what Answers allows you to do.
Curtis, why not just use forums or mailing lists?
Well, I do use them. And there is, I think, a failing in them. The best example is Ubuntu forums and Ubuntu itself. Every 6 months we come out with a new release, and we might change the way hardware is configured or drivers. I am an owner of a MacBook, and I use that for development of Launchpad. But every release, I have to do some minor reconfiguring, and the forums doesn't help me. If someone configures for this release how to do it, I can read that explanation and be on my way. But I can't use the history of how to make a MacBook run Ubuntu and actually make it run. So the information dates rather quickly. There's no commitment to getting it answered. You see a lot of people replying to themselves to make the question answer. And the area of a forum isn't necessarily about questions and answers. There's other activities going on there. And I think the last failing of it is not very good at tracking the final issue. Has the person's problem been solved? I think this is something that Launchpad Answers does very well. You can come to Launchpad Answers and ask a question, and it mails out to the people who have volunteered to help. And in Ubuntu, that's hundreds of people will get that request for help. If you ask for that in question in French or Spanish, you will still get people who speak your language receiving that email and will help you solve your problem.
And the life of the question is also tracked in the same way as a bug with a status, and you can see at any one time how many questions need answering, and so on.
Indeed, there's a strong correlation to how a bug and a question interact. It's possible to tie a question to being related to a bug. Likewise, for many projects, they have resorted to using bug trackers as a way of handling questions, and that's not what they're good at.
Right.
But the bug tracker is the one piece of software that most projects acquire early in their tool set, and that's something that they apply. Here at Launchpad, we recognize there's slightly differences. That's also true for blueprints, where bug trackers aren't the ideal tool for working with blueprints. But you'll find between blueprints, answers, and bugs, the similarities are there, but they're allowed to vary to meet the needs of the users using.
Curtis, I have two quick observations. One thing that I think is really interesting about Answers is the this is a FAQ button or link where you can, mm-hmm. you know, really highlight those questions that are, you know, that may be asked by a number of different users, and that seems to be something that a forum really doesn't handle very well, or even a mailing list archive doesn't really handle very well, is easily turning those answers into facts.
That's right. That's a problem. I would go back to citing Ubuntu forums as one of its failings. The fact that people will regularly cite a link published 2 years ago about how to set up my computer isn't relevant anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be a way to go back and, instead of having to read the revision history over 17 pages of posts, to just edit the original document and allow people to see what's the important information.
Similarly, you can also turn a question into a bug. So if there's a problem that someone's experiencing and it actually isn't just a normal plea for help, and it's actually a bug that they're experiencing, it's very easy to convert it from one to the other, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I think more importantly is that information, even if they have separate lives, the bug and the question, they're always connected. You get email regarding that. So if you ask a question that you have a someone has provided a workaround for you, so there is a bug in place, but you're able to configure your application to do what you need to do, you'd still like it to work exactly the way you intended. And when that bug gets fixed, you'll be notified indirectly because you're subscribed to the question.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing we should really point out, though, is that when we talk about the failings of the Ubuntu forums, we're not actually specifically talking about the people that run the forums, or we're talking about the nature of forum software as opposed to the people that conduct it. So just to be clear.
That's absolutely true, and I'm still a regular user of the Ubuntu forums, as I know what we all are since I've seen our names across Ubuntu forums. It's merely that this is a structured way for someone who is generally not a developer to ask a question, and for people who are not necessarily developers of a project to answer it. This is a way of allowing the community, committed people who love an application or a project, to contribute back.
I think that's an important distinction, because things like mailing lists take a lot of commitment from the participants to be involved in it. It fills up your inbox. It's pretty high bandwidth. For those who are really involved in a particular project, a mailing list is a great media to communicate. But it's not very good for the sort of the casual participant. And forums maybe get a little bit better, but they're kind of hard to search for the answer that you're looking for. And I think this is a really great way for people who just have a very passing question, but that's very important to them, to communicate with project developers and other people who are quite involved in the project, and to get their answer in a much more immediate way. So
that's right. I confess I have subscribed to mailing lists for only a few weeks, merely because I was trying to solve a problem with whatever I was working, the tool I was working with, and then I unsubscribed when my answers were answered.
Mm-hmm. Curtis, how useful do you think Launchpad Answers is for tracking admin requests?
It's often perceived by a lot of people who've looked at it, from inside Canonical, who looked at it and thought, with a few more pieces, this would be a good request support or an RT tracker. But that's not what it's envisioned to be. And so it's lacking features that would be able to, for escalation, for instance, which is a crucial piece for support. But I think it's fair to say it has 80% of the features that someone might expect to see for that. And I think that's where being flexible here. That's an aspect that I think a lot of projects when evaluating Launchpad have to discover for themselves, that Launchpad is never going to do something exactly the way they might envision the workflow. We're not going to impose workflow upon anyone, so we remain very flexible. And so a real customer support application, for instance, has a structured workflow. It is geared towards either a business end or developer's end. Whereas I think we decided, since this is an application about the end user, we structured about the end user. So this is, I guess ultimately, it's about the community, not necessarily about the developers or the marketers or the business end. So it's not the tool for them, though I would argue with a little bit of work it could be. But I'm very happy to say it's the tool for the community.
I remember when we rolled out Answers, one of the big questions was, if we participate in Answers, do we get karma points? And the answer to that, of course, is yes, we do. And a lot of people use it. As it turns out to be, there's a couple folks. There's one guy that comes to mind from Colorado. His name's Jim Hutchinson. He is very active in, just like Alan Pope, another person from the UK, who's very active in Answers. And they've generated lots of karma for themselves by really reaching out and helping the Ubuntu project.
Yeah, I didn't realize I had karma myself on Launchpad when I had started, and it was indirectly through Answers. It's just something I didn't think about at the time. It wasn't my goal to be a karma whore, but now that I look at how much karma specs give out, I have to do more spec work on Launchpad.
That's a great way of getting karma, I tell you.
And we'll be talking about that in an upcoming podcast as well. Any other questions for Curtis today? Curtis, thanks very much. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us on this podcast.
Thanks for inviting.
Every week, Joey gives us his number of the week. And do you have a number of the week for us this week, Joey?
Hey, yeah. So my number of the week today is actually inspired from the front page of Launchpad. If you go to launchpad.net, look at the front page. On the right-hand side, you see featured projects. And we have 18 of them currently listed on the front page. So I thought this would be sort of interesting to talk about what it takes to become a featured project on the front page of Launchpad. And I think we should probably can all talk about this as well, not just me. We look for projects that make use, heavy use at times, of most of the elements of Launchpad, that services that Launchpad has to offer. Now, if you notice on the front page there, so how do we make the feature projects list, and how do projects enter this? Well, the feature project list is actually it's actually administered by three people: Mark Shuttleworth himself, Kiko, our leader, and myself. And we can update that list as requests come in. We have a lot of times we'll get a request from people like Elliot, who works with some of our users, Matt, Value too, and other people in the community that have really interesting projects, some famous, some not famous, that make that use Launchpad in very interesting ways. Sometimes they use it all the sections and all the services that Launchpad offers, and they have a really good presentation page, and it's a really interesting project. So we'll look at that, and we'll see if people are innovating or really have found themselves to be very successful using Launchpad. And if they do, and they tell us about it, or we discover that they're doing this, we look at who's on the feature project list, and we may choose to add people to that. So if projects are interested in perhaps having a spotlight on the front page, we'd love to do that. Just let us know what you're doing, and through sending us an email at feedback@launchpad.net, and we'll have a look and see if we can't catch up on the front page.
And being a featured project, we're told anyway by a couple of the projects on there, does actually bring more interest from potential contributors. So if you're ready, or you're particularly looking for more people to get involved, then it might be a good way to get that extra boost of interest.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting. If you scan down the list, you see some really big names. Of course, stuff that we have, like Ubuntu and Bazaar, that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. But Anut, AWN, GNOME-Do, Excel, MySQL is on there. PyRoom, which is kind of an interesting project, and a couple CMSs like Silva and Tango. So it's really interesting.
I'd like to welcome Jamu Cocker from the Landscape team, and he's going to talk to us about Landscape. Jamu, welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do with Landscape and Landscape in general?
Yeah, Landscape is a systems management tool for Ubuntu systems, and basically we have a client and a server component. The client is installed on machines that are managed. Those clients connect to the server where we have a web interface, and administrators can log in and manage their machines through the interface. One of the things it does that's particularly interesting is that basically all the things it can do, which include things like package management, user management, monitoring, and so on, it can do to one or N computers in more or less the same way. And I'm one of the six people that develops Landscape.
Cool. And by N, you mean it's completely scalable? You can scale up to hundreds of computers, for example?
Yes. Although the user interface probably doesn't support that right now, but the underlying infrastructure definitely does.
I've been using Landscape on my own home network. It's not 100 machines, but it's really quite convenient to manage your all your computers from one browser without having to log in or use Update Manager or whatever it is. So it's really quite excellent.
Thank you. And I can tell you that the reboot and shutdown feature you want is on the way.
Excellent. Those are two features that I've been looking for. Every once in a while, you need to reboot your machines, and it would be nice to be able to do that through the same web interface that you manage everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
How's the opinion been? The users, have they been? Has the reviews been really good or really bad?
The reviews have been good for the most part. We get fairly consistent feedback from our customers asking for small features, and basically people just want more, but they like what they have.
How do you track that? Do you use something like Launchpad, or do you use Bugzilla, or do you have internal ways of keeping track of the information?
Our development process is basically heavily reliant on Launchpad. And this is actually one of the things I think is interesting about Launchpad, is that it's got a number of components that can indicate certain kinds of things that a team might want in a development process, but you don't actually have to use all the pieces if you don't want to. And so in Landscape, we basically use bugs, PPAs, and code hosting kind of in that order. And at a high level, we plan development cycles that are roughly 3 or 4 months. And so, for example, just in June, we were all together in London, and we planned the next 4 month cycle. And basically, in that process, we look at what our customers are asking for, look at what our kind of bigger strategic vision is, and then determine, okay, in this period of time, what are the big features that we want to do? And while we're together, we start filing bugs. And we file those bugs into a milestone that represents the whole cycle. And we file as many bugs as we can, wish list ideas, whatever, it doesn't matter. Then throughout the cycle, we actually release changes every 2 weeks. And so we use a milestone to represent each of those 2 week periods. And in our planning process, we basically use that big milestone that has the catch-all for everything for the cycle, and we'll move the things that are relevant for the next 2 weeks into the current milestone and work on those things, get them to whatever state they get to, and then release what's ready and push forward whatever's not ready. And so we also have a review process in place that requires that any branch that lands must have 2 reviews, 2 positive reviews, and we use the review tag on our bugs. So anytime a bug is ready for review, you put the review tag, and then we all have a view of bugs needing review, and we just go through that as part of our daily process. So really, our development process, at least in terms of managing the data and the dealing with the workflow, is heavily tied to Launchpad.
Is the new code review feature something that you might be able to make use of?
The new code review feature is something that we definitely want to make use of, and in fact, we've started making use of it in the Storm project, which is open source. And it's good. Some of the initial things that are kind of causing a little bit of problem is that sometimes it's a little bit difficult to tell from email what the context of a review, which branch it exactly applies to, or exactly in what part of the workflow it's in. The other thing is that the way that we do reviews now is that we post a bug that has requests some feature, and then eventually someone will assign it to themselves, mark it as in progress, push a branch, and then add a comment saying, here, I've pushed a branch to this location, it does these things, please review it. And then reviewers just add their review comments as bugs on the ticket, as comments on the ticket. And so we're very much used to having all the information about the bug on the bug page. And so right now, having the reviews separate from bug comments is also is causing a little bit of friction. But in general, it's really awesome, and we're really excited about it.
You mentioned Storm there. Has there been much interest in Storm outside of Landscape and Launchpad?
There has been. We've got quite an active IRC channel. We've got a mailing list, and people are asking questions. And I know I've talked to people on IRC anyway that are actually using it to build real products. There was someone I was talking to several months ago that was using it to in a system that received messages from sprinkler sensors and farms and did clever monitoring and things like that. So we're getting good feedback, and the pace of development in the project is quite good. There's a lot of changes coming through. Lots of things are being optimized. There's features like we have group by support now that will be in the next release, things that make it more complete. So it's quite enjoyable to be part of the project.
To take a step back, I suppose we should explain what Storm is. So what would be your, to use a nice little buzzword, what would be your elevator pitch for Storm?
Well, Storm is an object relational mapper, and that is all fancy talk to say that Storm makes it easy to store objects, or to make your objects storable in a database. And basically, with Storm, you you create classes, and the attributes on those classes are Storm properties. And when you instantiate instances of those classes, you can add them to a Storm store, which knows about a database. And then Storm takes care of writing the data for those classes to the database and giving you ways to query the database and get those objects back again.
We should mention that it's a Python-based ORM.
Indeed.
I know we have started using it in the Launchpad project ourselves, and putting on my mailman hat, I've moved all of my code to it. Storm is actually quite nice. I highly recommend anybody who's looking for a Python ORM to download it and take a look.
Yeah, this latest release that we've rolled out of Storm inside Launchpad has been it's been really interesting. We've taken a step to really integrate Storm more than we have in the past, so that's is a good plus for us, and it helps us in the long run. And so that's cool. It sounds like Landscape's Landscape uses pieces of Launchpad to effectively perform the work they need to do. And it sounds like Launchpad, at least from the pieces that you use, are servicing you really well.
They are, and in fact, one other area of Launchpad that is indispensable to us are PPAs, and we have an interesting problem, which is that we need to provide Landscape client packages for every supported Ubuntu release, which currently is down to 4 releases, which is Dapper, Feisty, Gutsy, and Hardy. But soon it will include Intrepid and so on. And without PPAs, building packages for lots of Ubuntu releases was really painful. And now we've got some scripts in place that help us, but now it's a matter of minutes to produce packages for all those Ubuntu releases.
Jamu, is there one particular feature that you'd like to see in Launchpad that would make development of Landscape that much easier for you guys?
Definitely stacked branches. We've recently moved Landscape client code to Launchpad, and we had a bunch of history in our branch that we couldn't publish, so we've made a fresh branch. It's just got less than 20 revisions, and so it's working perfectly to host it on Launchpad, and we're pushing and pulling branches and things like that. But we really want to be able to move our server branch, which has several hundred revisions, to Launchpad. And our only concern is that because we do a lot of reviewing, in the past when we did some tests, it was quite slow to get branches.
Yeah, I think the from what I understand, the code team have been really working hard on that feature. That John O'Lang and the Antipodean part of the Launchpad team have been working really, really, really hard on that. So hopefully you should see that coming really soon.
That's awesome. There's actually one other feature that would make our lives really, really much easier, which is being able to change the status of bugs many at a time. Because of this process of milestones, when a milestone finishes, we usually have 20 or 25 bugs that all have to be changed from fixed committed to fixed released, or 10 of them might have to be pushed to the next milestone or whatever. And that's currently a lot of boring clicking.
Do you think the APIs will help you there? Or are you looking through something directly on the web UI?
I think in that particular case, it would make sense to make that a feature of the web UI, but definitely the APIs are exciting for other things.
Yeah, we had something like that we've been talking about, and we might be able to schedule it here approaching this fall. Graham, you remember that one? That was the being able to change multiple statuses at the same time. Checkboxes.
I do, yeah. A colleague of mine on the bugs team who has since left the team, unfortunately, did do quite a bit of work on it. So it's something that we've already laid the groundwork for, so we might well be able to schedule it quite soon.
Awesome, that would be fantastic.
Well, Jamu, it's been fascinating talking to you. Anything else you want to add about how you'd like to see Launchpad progress?
Get rid of more of the pages that have the action panels and go to the new UI, because it's really awesome.
Yes, someone likes the new UI. Oh, that's brilliant.
Yes, I do.
And we didn't even pay him for that either.
And start listening to MPT more.
Well, strangely, MPT's been saying that for ages. It's one of those things when you introduce a new UI that all the feedback you get, you know, we've had some great feedback from the beta team, who are a fantastic bunch, and they don't pull any punches when we get something wrong. And I've not quite yet discerned whether everyone likes the new UI or everyone dislikes it, or whether it's just a vocal minority that have been saying, we don't like the new UI, but I personally think it's great, and I've heard from now two or three people who think it's a fantastic change. So
I found in the first couple of days of the new UI and seeing the changes come through, it kind of disrupted my workflow because I'm used to things being in certain places. But setting that aside, it does seem much easier to use, and particularly the panels on the side now, they actually show useful information instead of being what I need but can't see because I'm looking at the content area, which is how the action portlets always felt.
Hey, thanks again.
Cool.
Jamu, I appreciate you coming on board and chatting with us today. It's been, as Matt said, it's been wonderful to have you here and insightful as always. We wish you the best of luck with Landscape, and hopefully we'll be able to get you back maybe for one of your future releases to tell us a little bit about it.
That's awesome. Thank you very much.
Jamu, where's a good place to find out more about Landscape?
A good place to find out is at canonical.com/landscape.
Great, thanks.
Okay, so that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening to Launchpad. We welcome your feedback as always at feedback@launchpad.net. If you've got any ideas for the podcast or indeed any ideas for Launchpad itself, please send them to feedback@launchpad.net, and we'll see you next week.
Yep, thanks very much for joining us, Graham, and it's been a pleasure doing it this week. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thanks.